Chapter 20. Mercy. Tough love, baby. It had been raining for a while now. A cold rain. A hard rain. The kind of rain that makes you feel like some pony up there doesn't like you. My throat burned, my legs ached, and every breath I took sounded like rasping metal. I looked up into the rain, too tired to even cry. But not too tired for this. For what I had to do. I started to dig.
It doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't.
Rampage whispered to the crushed thorn over and over again. She was right. It didn't hurt. The shock rolling through me had mutated into something completely new. A fury so absolute and complete that I launched myself at the striped pony, not caring about my injuries or even that I'd no way to kill her. It had taken a combat drug cocktail last time. This time, it was something even more potent. My absolute and complete failure to protect a filly I'd sworn to. Rampage had told me she was a monster. If it took a monster to kill her, then that is what I'd become. I screamed as I struck at her, knocking the poor foal's body from the ghastly embrace. I screamed again, seizing her head in my hooves and slamming against the metal railing again and again. I heard bones break and felt the spongy material within. Then I felt the head re-solidify. No problem. I'd just do it harder and faster, again and again and again, until it worked. Every bit of frustration, all my failures, built into a horrible frenzy within me. I was supposed to keep ponies safe. I was security, dammit. Of course the first pony she'd go to was Rampage. And I'd been warned. I'd told her I'd stop her if she was alone around a filly. But no pony had thought to tell the Crusaders to keep Thorn away. How could we have explained it to her anyway? She'd just lost her mother. She'd just watched her get put into the ground. How could I have been so stupid? Just one. Just save one, Blackjack. Couldn't I even manage that? Crack. Crack. Crack! Finally, Rampage heaved me away, her inequine strength sending me rolling across the cracked asphalt. The look in her eyes, the tone of her voice, the way she stood, it was all different.
Murderer! You monster! Don't you get it? This is the merciful thing to do,
she said calmly as she charged at me, her lips curled into a snide grin. Her cutie mark churned over and around the pony skull. I wrapped my forelegs around the railing behind me, twisted, and planted a double rear kick to her face, just like a certain little orange pony would. The kick would have knocked out most mares, the crunch of a broken snout ending the fight. Rampage was not most mares.
She was suffering. I gave her mercy,
she said quite matter-of-factly, like I was an ignorant foal.
You didn't have to kill her to end that, Rampage!
I yelled as she came at me again, throwing her forelegs around my neck and starting to squeeze. Only the rain allowed me to slip my head free before she popped it off entirely. I ended up beneath her and bucked to toss her up. As she dropped back down on me, I slammed my spine into a ribcage. Her breath whooshed out in a satisfying gust. I tossed her off my back. She landed, choking and gagging, on the cracked concrete. Adrenaline was carrying me only so far. I really needed some buck and stampede.
It was the kind thing to do,
Rampage gasped, choking as her eyes stared out into the rain over the bridge.
So much pain. So much suffering. I had to do it. Fluttershy couldn't end it. Celestia couldn't. But I could take their pain away.
She glared at me in contempt, those glyphs twisting around the skull.
Can't you understand? They were in pain. Even when we took their nightmares away, they still suffered. So I gave them mercy. Wouldn't you do the same?
Terminate power. Yes or no? A cold hand gripped my rotten heart.
No,
I said, but my denial skills had gotten rusty the last few days.
It's not the same. They were crazy and trapped. I would have had to leave them there.
I tried to slam her to the ground again. Shut her up for good. I didn't want to think about it. Don't think about it. But when she hit the roadway with the sound of another bone breaking, she arched a brow and grinned in that haughty, condescending manner.
Oh? So, you have given out mercy as well. Killed a helpless foal to spare them the pain? Pulled the plug.
I felt numb and stumbled, and she shoved me away from her.
Oh, so that was it. I've done that too. I had no choice!
I yelled, trying to convince through volume.
I had no choice,
she mocked in return.
Isn't that how it always goes? No. No, you didn't have to kill her.
I said desperately as we circled each other, my body suddenly feeling very tired and weak.
There was nothing I could have done. Nothing. Really.
Her voice lowered even more.
Didn't stay with them? Didn't help them? Didn't find some pony who could? Didn't devote yourself to doing everything possible to save them?
Her question slammed into me harder than her hooves as I backed away, towards the flaking word, mercy, on the asphalt. I thought my choice was lose-lose. I knew some of the children were crazy. But had I gone from pod to find out for sure? Could some of them have been saved? I'd thought the collegiate and society wouldn't have helped. But had I asked them? Had I dragged Archibald and Splendid up there to find out for sure that there were no medics in the wasteland? Had I devoted my life to finding some way to save those terrible innocents? No. I'd pulled the plug, sung a little song, and then gone back to Megamart to collect some bottle caps. Rampage pounced, knocking me onto my back on the warning sign and laying atop me.
You're no different from me. Not at all. Sanctimonious, cruel, and vile. This world is too painful, too corrupted, too hateful. Mercy is the only decent thing we can give them.
She said to me softly, contemptuously, as her hooves crushed down with terrible power.
But don't worry, Blackjack. I know you're in pain. I know you're sick. I'll give you mercy, too. Rampage!
I gasped, my legs kicking and struggling against her. But I wasn't even sure I was really fighting her anymore. Whoever this mare atop me was, she wasn't the Reaper I'd known.
You keep calling me Rampage,
she said softly as I gasped and choked.
That's not my name. Get off her, you bitch!
Glory screamed. The gray Pegasus dove from above, and a stream of red beams burned smoking holes in the striped pony's body. The holes closed before my eyes, but Glory had the bit of her battle saddle clenched and poured on the fire. Finally, one of the red beams from her boxy pistol hit Rampage in just the right way, and the immolation reaction flashed along the striped pony. Her hooves burned into my throat as she collapsed into a pile of ash atop me. Something hard and heavy landed on my chest. I coughed and hacked as I looked at an egg of pink quartz, wrapped in golden wire and glowing with an eerie pink-tinged light. A strange glyph in the egg's center, a twisting whirlpool that throbbed like a heart, glowed more brightly than the rest, and there were more lights within. I shoved it off and rolled onto my side as Glory landed next to me.
Easy, Blackjack. Easy. She's dead now. Just breathe. She almost crushed your windpipe.
From the worry on her face, I suspected that she wasn't sure about the almost part.
What the heck is this?
I asked softly as I held the egg aloft.
I think it's some kind of rejuvenation talisman. It looks like...
Glory trailed off, rubbing her chin thoughtfully. Suddenly, a pink cloud began to collect around the egg, forming worms of crimson that spread and curled into fresh veins and arteries. Tissue crawled over the surface and formed into a pinkish-red mass that began to beat. I watched as bones grew like weeds and muscle stretched to cover them. Finally, young, pale skin covered in brilliant red stripes spread like moss across her frame. The rampage foal jerked, took a shallow breath, then another, and then another. Her pink eyes opened and looked at me in utter misery.
Oh, no, 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 no. I did it again, didn't I?
As I looked down at her, I wasn't sure I could answer. Slowly, the tiny foal curled up and wept.
I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
She continued to whisper over and over again, but to whom I couldn't be sure. Her flank bore a dark mark, like a bruise.
Sweet Celestia,
Glory breathed in amazement.
Rampage?
I asked softly as the two striped sticks wrapped in barbed wire appeared on her flank.
I did it again, didn't I?
She said again as she sniffed. Then she looked at Thorn. A look of such pain crossed her young face that I couldn't help myself. I hugged the striped foal as she sobbed into my shoulder.
Not again, not again. No. Why did it have to happen again?
I'd been repulsed by what she'd done, and hurt by what she'd said. But at this second, all I knew was that she needed my help. And maybe a hug would calm every pony down enough for some pony to explain what was going on. Glory watched her closely.
What happened, Rampage? I went away. I was bummed. I like being by water. So I thought I'd come out here till the funeral was done. And then Thorn was running, and she was crying, and I wanted to give her a hug, but I was afraid, and I went away. Till just now.
Glory listened closely with a little frown.
I guess I got disintegrated. That's usually the only time I come out of it like this. So... You're crazy,
I said with a little half-smile.
That should have been obvious. I guess.
Glory rubbed her chin in thought.
How long do these blackouts last? It's not...
She sighed and smacked the sides of her head.
It's like I'm there and then I'm somewhere else. And it's a bad place.
She whispered as she trembled into my limbs.
Then it can't be crazy,
Glory said with a small frown. Our eyes met and she gave me a small apologetic smile.
Please remember, I'm drawing on one class of psychology and something I once read in a Canterlot Journal of Medicine. But in real psychological disorders, another personality doesn't just completely take over. That's not how it works.
Rampage looked shocked.
Huh? I always figured, I mean, are you sure I'm not cracked?
She asked with a confused, worried little look.
You just regenerated from some talisman in your chest,
Glory replied with a shake of her head.
I'm not sure of anything about you. But if it was something as simple as being crazy, then at least it'd be consistent. Or you're one hell of an actress. But if you wanted to kill us... Heck, kill all of Chapel. You could've. So I don't think that a part of your brain is twigged.
She sighed and frowned.
This is something else entirely.
I saw others running up and took the opportunity to engage in another bout of raspy and coughing. I rubbed my bruised windpipe, hoping that maybe sometime soon the wasteland would give at least my respiratory system a break. Blackjack! P-21 shouted as he limped towards us. Sakashi, carrying a burlap sack, was hurrying up behind him. The zebra took one look at the three of us, sighed, and came straight to me. She dug into her bag and pulled out a Sparkle Cola bottle filled with something that had the consistency of paint. I took a drink and felt the familiar sensation of a healing potion, though it tasted somewhat odd. Good, though. P-21 stopped so short at the sight of Thorne's crumpled body that he tripped and fell on his face. What? Thorne! He looked at the tiny rampage. What the fuck is going on? I slowly rose, spitting and hacking phlegm as the zebra brew did its work. I was glad I could still swallow, even if it hurt. Finally, I rasped.
Some pony killed Thorne. Not Rampage.
My voice sounded worse than a ghoul's. What? He said flatly, pointing at her broken body with a hoof. Rampage. What? He looked at the shaking foal with a look he'd reserved for me, the mind boss, and thoughts of returning to 99. What? He shouted, his eyes glaring from one to the next in outrage.
Something took control of her,
I said firmly, the tiny rampage looking at me as if she couldn't believe it any more than P-21 did.
She killed Thorne. She said she was giving her mercy. She did it. Not Rampage.
I looked at the slain foal, feeling empty and brittle again.
She tried to kill me next. Glory vaporized her. And then she regenerated into this.
P-21 clenched his head between his hooves. Are you telling me we're traveling with a psychopath? I gave a stiff nod, and his eyelid twitched as he threw his hooves into the air. Oh, so her being crazy makes it all okay. That's so much better!
I don't think she's crazy,
Glory replied.
Something else is behind this.
He glared at her, narrowing his eyes. You're as bad as Blackjack. Glory didn't back down.
I'm telling you that Rampage needs our help.
Thorne needed our help, he yelled at her.
You're right,
I yelled at them both, or tried to at least, feeling something tear in my throat and set off a coughing fit that silenced the argument. I gritted my teeth, trying to get the words out.
Thorne needed us, and I failed to protect her. Me. But we can't help Thorne now,
I said as I staggered to my feet, coughing and hacking up snot. I nearly fell flat on my face, and was saved only by Glory propping me up.
It's my fault that Thorne is dead. Mine.
Be mad at me, P-21. Not Glory. Not Rampage. No, it's not, P-21 said darkly, looking at the striped foal. If she can't be killed, let's dump her back in Blue Blood's well and blast it shut.
That'd be fair,
Rampage said softly. But the thought of burying any pony alive, even after what Rampage did. The cards shuffled in my mind again. I knew that at any second I was going to start having death ponies in my head and looking crazy.
No, we are not going to do that.
It would be like the clinic all over again.
Whatever killed Thorne was not Rampage. Understand, P-21?
I don't care who did it, The blood is on her hooves. What do you think the Crusaders will do when they find out? She was one of them, Blackjack.
I don't know, okay?
I rasped.
But you bury her alive, then bury me too. I'm just as guilty as she is. Or did you forget what I did at the clinic?
He stared at me, his eyes widening. It's not the same.
I know it's not, P-21. I know it's not. But...
I stared at the shaking rampage. Arlost. I wanted to scream. I felt like I was the one going crazy now.
Just trust me. Please.
I begged him as I slumped against Lori. He just looked at me. You can't save every pony, Blackjack, he said softly as I slid back to the ground.
I know. But if I give up, then how can I save myself?
I asked as I hid my face in shame. He gave one last sigh. What do you need, Blackjack? I looked at him and gave him a grateful smile. At least, I hoped I was smiling.
Tell Priest.
I couldn't. I'd rather die than see his face when I confirmed that Arlost had been a murderer. He gave a stiff little nod, then limped away towards chapel.
You should have let him bury me,
Rampage muttered.
Stop!
I croaked at her, then took a slow breath.
Just stop. I don't know who or what you are, Rampage. I know what I saw and what you said. I don't know if you're crazy or not, but stop saying that we need to kill you. That won't bring Thorn back.
I sighed as I looked at the clouds, my gut clenching before I doubled up and hacked and coughed through my bruised throat. I spat out another wad, hoping that that stuff wasn't blood. Then I looked at her curiously.
So, why are you little?
The look she gave me could have curdled Sparkle Cola. I swallowed and chuckled.
Okay, you don't know. How long are you going to be like this?
She gave a little shrug.
Days? Honestly, it's been almost 5 years since I was disintegrated.
Right.
Glory, can you take her back to the Star House, please? Blackjack, you should come too.
But I just gave her the easiest smile I could and sighed. Of course, Glory was more worried about me. After a look, though, she finally turned to Rampage.
Come on, kid.
Rampage blinked and frowned at her.
I'm at least 50 years older than you.
Glory smiled.
I can't help it. You're just so cute. I am not cute. I am one of the top reapers in all of Hoofington, and I am a crazy immortal death machine.
Rampage said with a little stomp of her hooves.
That is not cute.
She glanced back at Thorn with one last mournful look.
Not cute at all.
I scooped at the mud, but it slid back into the hole. It was more bailing than digging now. My breath burned in my throat as I coughed and hacked and scrabbled. Working hard and accomplishing... nothing. I had to do better. I had to be strong and kind and aware. But I wasn't. I was just a filly scraping at the mud.
I need your bag,
I rasped softly.
Come, let us get you out of the rain,
Sakashi said as she started to help me up.
Didn't you hear me?
I started, and then sighed. Of course she hadn't. Because she hadn't lived a life of relative ease in a stable. She'd been trapped in a mine, going deaf while the rest of her people were worked almost to death and then gunned down around her. I took a deep breath and then looked into her eyes.
I need your bag. And I need you to tell me a story.
Sakashi's eyes widened. I looked over at Thorn. Without hesitation, she bit the end of her burlap sack and dumped her belongings onto the bridge. She pawed through some strange herbs, stones, and bottles she carried.
What kind of story does a guardian need?
She deftly bit a bottle and tossed it up onto her snout, extending it to me. I coughed as I took it, hoping it was some kind of medicine.
A funny one,
I said with a little smile.
But what I really need is a story about a pony who can't die.
Sakashi blinked, then tried for a smile.
Ah, well, it just so happens that I do know such a story. Quite humorous, too. Orion's story. Once he was a zebra, the same as you or I.
She paused and chuckled.
Well, I suppose he wasn't the same as you. He wandered the plains with his tribe. He was not the strongest hunter, nor the bravest, nor the most capable. He was, in fact, the weakest, the most cowardly, and the most inept. Truly, poor Orion would not last long. But still, he wanted mares, he wanted respect, and he wanted to stand proud and tall amongst his people.
As Sakashi talked, I limped to the still form of Thorn and, as gently as I could, tried to slip her into the bag. Her dull eyes looked at nothing at all, not understanding what had happened to her. I prayed as I brushed her eyes closed that her last thought hadn't been of Rampage's betrayal.
I'm so sorry,
I whispered to her ear. Sakashi's story halted, and she coughed in the rain before continuing.
And so, as young bucks are wont to do, zebra or no, he made a foolish choice. One night, he called out to the stars, asking them to make him strong and brave and terrible. And the stars heard and granted his wish, and gave him forbidden knowledge no zebra should know. He put his spirit within a rock, and the rock within his chest.
I sat up, looking at her as I pulled the drawstring tight with my magic.
His spirit?
There couldn't be a coincidence between the story and what I'd just seen. Could there? She nodded.
Yes, all things have spirits. What you call a soul. It is the truest reflection of oneself.
Funny, I recalled a particularly boring lecture about cutie marks.
Why would that make him, well, invincible? There is a power to the spirits. Our spirit is the truest reflection of self, the thing that makes us exist at all. And when we die, it is the piece of us that persists to eternity. But if we damage that spirit willingly and place it within another vessel, that vessel gains the resilience of the spirit.
And what happens to the pony that loses it?
She gave a shrug.
Who can speak of such things? It is a dark subject, and I speak only happy, funny tales. When they die, their spirit may linger in its vessel, trapped for all time. But perhaps, someday, the spirit may be free and reunited with the rest. That is what I can hope.
So what happened to Orion?
Poor silly Orion with his heart of stone found himself stronger than the most terrible monsters of the savannah. With his spirit within the unbreakable heart, he knew no fear, and so nothing could stand before his spear and hooves. But his tribe questioned how Orion could have gone from so little to so much. They questioned if he had used the forbidden magic of the stars, and Orion grew angry. He was strong and terrible. How dare they question him? In a rage, Orion slew his tribe, from the elders to the youngest foal.
and so he was left alone. For years he wandered. All zebras fled from Orion the traitor, for the blood of the slain had marked him in stripes of crimson. No monster could slay him, even as he wished it, for they could not devour the stone heart. No spear could fell him. And so he cried out to the stars to take their gift back. But the stars do not undo what they have done. So finally, he jumped so high that he reached the stars and joined them, hunting for the most terrible monsters of the skies in the hopes that one may slay him some day.
She finished her story as I rested my hoof on the bag.
How could some pony put their soul in a rock? Why, it's like defacing your own cutie mark.
Or erasing one's glyph,
Sakashi agreed, looking on as a spasm of coughing rolled through me.
There are many stories of doing such things, though. Of silly zebras wishing for power, or knowledge, or long life. Pursuing their desire, they sever their spirit and burn it within fires of magic, or barter with beings too terrible to name, or simply secure it within a new shell. The powers gained, and the knowledge, and the life, however, are very rarely worth the price one has paid. But there are always fools who do not heed the warnings of the stars.
Warnings from the stars? Or warnings about the stars?
I asked as I gently lifted the burlap sack and placed it across my shoulders. Too light, and yet so very heavy. Too young. She should have been given a chance at more life. A chance at happiness. Like those foals in the clinic.
Yes,
Sakashi said as she used a bit of string to tie together her bottles and belongings as well as she could.
I know that for ponies they are pretty lights in the sky. But just because something is pretty does not make it harmless. The stars are powerful, otherworldly, and fickle. A foolish zebra or pony who calls upon them dooms not only themselves, but others as well.
So zebras believe the stars are evil?
I asked, remembering those pictures and mare pony's memory.
Some may, but did I say evil?
No.
Dangerous, perilous, fickle. But they do not wish our destruction, for otherwise we would surely be destroyed.
She gave a sad little smile.
It is far too easy to simply say that something is evil. To invite their attentions and to plead for their aid is folly. But they are not cruel and wicked,
she said, her eyes lingering on Rampage before she looked up at the clouds.
There are stories of the stars giving guidance to those who need it. Stories of the stars granting succor and inspiration. It is when we demand of the stars that they grant our desires. Much to our pain, as your Nightmare Moon discovered.
Nightmare Moon?
I asked as we talked, glad for the excuse to take my thoughts off of what had happened minutes ago.
What does she have to do with the stars?
Who do you think it was that gave her such power?
She asked as she kept her eyes on me.
The lesson of the stars is not that they are wicked things. How simple that would be. So many make that mistake. It is that they allow us to bring our true horrors to the forefront, and the pain may be left for generation upon generation. The stars did not make your princess into that monster. The monster was there to begin with.
But Nightmare Moon and Princess Luna were two different ponies,
I protested. There was no way that the cute, intelligent princess I had seen could be a monster.
Can you tell me the tale of how she became Nightmare Moon? The change from one to the other?
Sakashi asked. I opened and closed my mouth like an idiot. I knew the story of her banishment, but...
I don't know.
Nor do we. But many believe that she made a plea to the stars, and that they answered her call. And though her sister and people forgave her easily, that which the stars touch, they change forevermore.
That seems pretty severe,
I said softly.
What if I were touched by the stars?
Sakashi laughed.
Oh, my dear guardian, it would explain a great deal to me.
But despite her laugh, there was an uneasiness in her eyes. I'd only excavated a hoof deep. My throat throbbed with every swallow. My eyes burned as I tried to scoop out a little more muck.
I'm wondering, the dealer whispered as the rain hissed off the yellow grass around me, if there isn't some symbolism to this.
Fuck you and your symbolism,
I muttered as I scooped out a double hoofful of sludge from the hole, the mud slathering my legs.
I have to do this.
I'd failed. It was my responsibility. The dealer just leaned against the wooden headstone, cards passing back and forth between his hooves as he looked at me with a rheumy old eye.
You're only a pony, Blackjack. No shame in that.
I have to be better,
I gasped.
Well, in that case, then maybe you should see if Sanguine can fuse some sand dog into you, or get some mechanical limbs. Maybe put a talisman where your heart should be so you can kick yourself in the ass for all eternity.
With each question, he showed me a card. Gorgon, Deus, and the snide and cruel Rampage.
Would that be better?
Fuck you,
I muttered as my legs gave out on the cold, wet ground.
You're gonna need more than harsh language to be better, Blackjack. And since you won't use what you've got, best get something that's better than nothing.
And what have I got?
I rasped softly, looking at the burlap sack as blood slowly stained through the cloth. My voice cracked, then failed entirely.
Blackjack, you idiot.
Side by side, we entered chapel, and Sakashi looked at me with her easy smile and worried eyes.
Let me check on Majina. I just wish to check on her.
She tried to keep her eyes on mine, but they could not help but glance at my passenger.
Stay with her. At least one of us should have the sense to get out of the rain,
I crackled, feeling cold and tired. This was how I imagined Scalpel and Bonesaw must feel. I wondered what it was like to be a mother. The thought was simply terrifying. I could barely take care of myself with my friend's help. What would it be like to worry about a foal? To lose one? I was walking slowly past the post office when Priest stepped quietly out into the rain. The water spraying off of his shoulders seemed to glint around him like an aura. Our eyes met, and there were no words. I looked with eyes of guilt, he with silent recrimination. He'd warned, I'd failed. What needed to be said past that? He stepped past me, giving the sack a small nuzzle of farewell, and walked off towards his church. The door to the post office opened, and three young ponies tumbled out. Medley, Adagio, and Allegro rolled into the rainy street. Little Sonata followed the four.
She'd have been the perfect age to be a friend for Thorn.
Allegro struggled to get free with his treasure, a bottle of Sparkle Cola Rad. Adagio hugged his rear legs while Medley clambered up his back, her horn glowing as she struggled to pull the bottle from his lips before he could drink it all.
Give it back! It's mine!
She shrieked as she pummeled his head with her hooves.
You said I'd get a drink, a leg!
Adagio protested laconically, the blue colt tugging at his limbs.
Get off!
The rose-colored colt growled, and the chartreuse unicorn yanked the bottle of soda from his mouth and held it above them.
Hey!
He protested, stretching up to reach the glowing bottle.
It's mine now!
Medley declared, only to have Allegro grab her in a bear hug around the chest. Unbalanced, the pile of foals tumbled over with a loud thump. The glow around the bottle faded, and it fell into Sonata's hooves. Three pairs of eyes met hers. The little purple earth pony smiled and then promptly spat into the bottle. A chorus of "Ew!" filled the air as the filly enjoyed her radish-flavored soda with a small smile of triumph.
"Hey, it's the security pony!"
Medley said, pointing a hoof at me as she lay upside down upon the blue adagio. They rolled to their feet, and suddenly I felt a pit opening inside me.
"Did you find Thorn? Been looking everywhere for her." "What's in the bag?"
Allegra said with a grin of inquisitiveness. But he must have read something on my face.
"Hey, what's wrong? You don't look so good."
What could I say? How could I explain that one of my friends had killed their newest member?
"Hey, Sonata! Did you win?"
Charity said from the doorway. The youngest of the four then took a drink with a wide smile.
"She spit in the bottle,"
Adagio whined.
"Just like I told her. Good girl,"
Charity said before she yelled into the post office.
"Sonata won! Pay up!"
Then she glanced at me and her smile faded. She looked at me and the sack on my back.
"What are you doing?" "She's acting funny,"
Medley said suspiciously. But Charity's eyes met mine. They flashed like beam weapons for a moment before she said softly,
"Thorn's dead, ain't she?"
The four looked at her, then looked at me in worry. I couldn't speak. I could only nod.
"She took the walk, huh?"
Her gold eyes looked at the bag on my back, and I knew that she was lying through her horn. But once again, all I could do was nod. The four didn't look shocked. They looked sad. Resigned. As if this wasn't the first time.
"I thought she was going to stay,"
Sonata said softly as she hugged the almost empty bottle. Medley put a hoof around her.
"I really thought she wouldn't walk."
Medley nuzzled the filly's ear. This was how the Crusaders survived. Adagio looked at his brother, wilting in the rain.
"I wonder who told her about the bridge. Probably Pandure or Crisp. I'll thump them if they did,"
the blue colt muttered dully. And that's how colts survived.
"Head inside. No point in being stuck in the rain,"
Charity said, stepping aside. When they'd gone back indoors, she looked at the bag again.
"You going to take care of her?"
All I could do was nod, and her gaze dropped.
"Good."
The yellow filly turned back to the post office.
"Don't you want to know how?"
I croaked, and then coughed. I was soaked through, exhausted, and just wanted to dry out. She looked back at me with her sad gold eyes.
"No,"
she said simply as she stepped back inside. She didn't need to know. Thorn had died, and I was taking care of her. That seemed to be enough. I'm sure a pony like her would eventually find out the details from Priest anyhow. Alone, I walked to the grave where the trampled grass and muddy earth were the only indication of the ceremony that had taken place barely an hour ago. I looked at the wooden post.
"Roses."
Gently, I laid Thorn on the grass.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean for any of this to happen,"
I said as I closed my eyes, hanging my head.
"I bet you've heard that a lot, huh? You bony bastard."
"You talking to me?"
he said from my left, where he was sitting and looking at the grave solemnly. I glared at him hatefully. He returned my gaze and had the audacity to look upset.
"Yeah, It's an old theme. Road to hell and all that.
Why can't I make it any better? Why can't I save even one foal who just lost her mother? Why do you take everything away?
I didn't kill her,
the white horse said softly as he tugged the ragged cowpony hat further over his face.
You know what I mean,
I said quietly as I looked at the brown muck before me.
Why do you have to make it so hard?
I don't, Blackjack. You do. Because you care so damn much,
he said softly, looking at me with a sad, avuncular smile.
And you know what caring means.
Caring. Caring fucking hurts. No matter how you slice it,
I whispered. And then I began to dig. I don't know how long I worked on digging that hole. It could have been minutes, but it felt like days. I rasped, coughed, and had conversations with my own fractured psyche. I just couldn't stop. I'd failed in all other regards. I would at least see her laid to rest, or drop in the attempt. And sure enough, my aching legs finally gave out and sent me sprawling next to the sack, coughing and struggling just to breathe.
Blackjack, you idiot,
P-21 said softly beside me.
Don't you have the sense to get out of the rain?
He asked as he walked to the shallow hole and moved in to my left. The rain matting his navy mane, he started to dig alongside me. Glory slipped in on my other side. Her lavender eyes met mine, and her wing gently wiped the rain from my eyes. She set down her packs and pulled out a blanket to drape over me, before she moved to the hole as well. Across from us stepped Rampage. She looked too small to help, but all the same she lay on her stomach to help dig out the mess. Black Hoof stepped in beside her, and she stared up at Priest in shock as he floated a shovel before him. Giving one long look at the tiny Rampage, he proceeded to dig as well. Then, to my amazement, the rain stopped. No, it hadn't stopped raining. It had simply stopped falling on us. Standing a little ways apart, Lacunae watched us toil, her horn glowing. Sakashi walked up with more of her potions and medicine. And then, most miraculously of all, Charity arrived with a shovel and bucket. Beside me, the old pale buck watched with a wistful look of longing.
See that? That's how it should be.
Lacunae glanced in my direction as I muttered to myself.
I should be the one doing it.
He gave me a look that I was all too familiar with.
You are, Blackjack. You just can't do it all by yourself. You don't need to be better. Smarter, maybe, but not better.
He said as he looked at me.
You just need your friends to carry some of your load.
The six of us made quick work of the hole, despite the mud and wet. Priest levitated Thorn down beside her mother as I watched.
Rest easy, Thorn. Roses, be united forever in the ever after.
I never meant. I didn't want this to happen again. Not again. Not ever again.
Rampage blubbered as she looked down into the grave like she wanted to crawl into it as well. Filling the grave was far easier than emptying it. Priest just closed his eyes as Charity collected her shovels.
I know, Arlost. But it did.
he replied evenly.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
She muttered softly, and gave him a wan half-smile.
Blackjack's gonna help me figure out how to die. Pretty cool, huh?
He glanced at me and then her.
Then I'll get what I deserve. And I won't ever do it again.
No pony deserves what you're going through, Arlost.
Priest replied softly.
I wish there was something I could do to help. But you're still a threat to the Crusaders. You still have to go away.
Rampage just nodded.
Can I see her before we go?
His lips curled up in a sad smile.
Of course.
She gave a nod, and the full-sized red zebra-striped pony walked quietly out into the rain beyond the kunai spell. Not towards the houses, but further into the graveyard.
Where's she going?
Glory asked as she watched.
She's visiting our daughter,
he replied quietly.
Their what?
Glory covered her mouth in horror, and even P-21 looked shocked.
I was barely a buck, but...
He gave a little shrug.
Old enough for it to happen once, after a lot of scotch and persuasion. I'd never seen her so happy. Then, out of nowhere, she killed her. It drove her crazy, I think. She tried so many ways to kill herself, it scared the Crusaders. Finally, she went into the city. I lost count of the number of times she was vaporized by the defenses. I thought that would be that. Only she appeared 2 years later as the Reaper Rampage. Why doesn't she just... bury herself or something?
P-21 muttered, now with a touch of shame and pity.
Because it wouldn't kill her. Someday, maybe in days or years or centuries, she'd escape again. And when she did, who knows what kind of monster she'd be. The only punishment she feels is acceptable is to die,
Priest said firmly.
She has to ensure that she'll never hurt another, so she gets off easily,
P-21 muttered.
And be tormented in hell,
Priest finished. P-21 blinked, then glanced at me. I think he finally realized just how deeply what she'd done had hurt. There was one last thing I had to do. I dug in my bags and pulled out my dragon claw. My horn was so dead that I had to grip it in my teeth and scrape it against the wood. When I finished, I looked at the post. Roses. And beneath it, my additions. Mother. Thorn. Daughter.
I'm done,
I whispered through my ragged throat, slumping against Glory.
It's time to get out of the rain.